webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Klein online.
Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It is hump day, Wednesday, December 8th, 2010, the only 8th day of December 2010, and the only second night of the Gospel Revolution Fall Pledge Drive in the history of the world. Welcome in on this, the second, it actually is not the second night, it's actually the eighth night. It's kind of like Hanukkah. It's the eighth night. It's the second webcast, the eighth night. We started a week ago with the Fall Pledge Drive for 2-0-10. We know that many of you, including us in the southern climes, are freezing their respective tuchuses off tonight, so it doesn't seem like autumn, but it still is, as we finish the fall of 2010 in a strong way with the Fall Pledge Drive for the Gospel Revolution. Glad to have you along, whether you are listening live or on the archive. We are happy to have you, and we are most happy to have the Most Holy Reverend online from a chilly Houston, Texas, in the home office of the Gospel Revolution, the founder and president of said revolution, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael!
Burr.
You gotta keep the boy, you gotta keep the boys in tonight, my friend.
It is cold here. Oh my gosh, it must be like 45 degrees or something outside.
Well,
this is
got to strap on the fur-lined headset tonight. We
there
do have earmuffs on because we're using headsets now on the Gospel Revolution. So you got to put a little fur on your headset. Ladies and gentlemen, we are happy to have everybody that is listening around the globe, whether you are listening live or on the archive. If you're listening live, it's Wednesday night. It's a couple minutes after 9 o'clock on the east coast of the U.S. of A. That is your clue to give us a call at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. Sean O'Halloran waiting dutifully in the Glenn Klein online studios in the Bay of the Holy Spirit here in Florida. We want to hear from you with your questions, with your comments, with your pledges at 1-800-436-3260. And, Michael, this is historic on a number of fronts. We're going to be talking about the where the pledge drive is, how we're doing as we endeavor to recoup the $2,800 in monthly pledges that have been lost since the economy took a dump last year. And we'll be talking about that. This is why we extend an extra 30 minutes, beautiful humans, during the pledge drive, because we do talk about the finances. This is the only time we talk about the money. Once a quarter, we don't talk about it for 30 minutes, but we do extend the show 30 minutes because we want to get all the good gospel stuff in that we can. But, Michael, believe it or not, it was 30 years ago tonight that the former Beatle John Lennon was murdered outside his apartment at the Dakota Apartments in New York City. Do you remember where you were when you heard that John Lennon had been murdered?
I do not remember exactly where I was. I don't even know what state I was in, actually.
Yeah, that's because you were stuck in all that religious garbage at the time, and it wasn't a big deal at the time.
What year
I know it was 1980. It was 30 years ago tonight, and I know exactly where I was when I heard it, as I remember where I was on 9/11/2001 as I remember where I was when President Reagan was shot in 1981, and as many of our older revolutionaries will remember where they were when John F. Kennedy was shot in Dallas in 1963. But John Lennon, of course, famously wrote and sang the song Imagine. And one of the lyrics in that song is, imagine no religion, imagine no possessions, imagine no heaven, imagine no hell. Michael, when Mark David Chapman shot John Lennon to death and he died on the way to the hospital or at the hospital, he was pronounced dead relatively soon after they tried to resuscitate him at the hospital in New York City. What happened to John Lennon after he died, especially in light of the fact that he sung about no heaven, no hell, no religion?
Well, that's the wonderful thing about work of the cross of Jesus Christ. We absolutely do not ever have to have a question as to what happens to anyone, no matter what means they by what means they die. It makes no difference in what condition they die. It makes no difference what establishment they're in, what position they're in, what act they are in. The powerful truth about the gospel is that John Lennon, regardless of a song that sang about imagining no heaven, went exactly there, at least into the very presence of God himself, which, you know, I openly admit I don't know what that's like. I don't know where it is. I believe with all my heart that it exists, and I do know without a doubt in my heart that John Lennon is in the presence of God this very moment.
Why is that?
I believe that because Jesus became sin, that he that knew no sin was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God, and that he imputed that righteousness without requirement upon man, even as he imputed sin without any requirement on man whatsoever, and that he imputed that righteousness to the entire human race. I believe when John Lennon was born on this earth, that he was born holy and righteous and perfect in the eyes of God, as every human being has been born holy and righteous and perfect in the eyes of God since the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus over 2,000 years ago now. Those things to me are hardcore facts. The thing that makes that truth to me is the fact that I believe that truth can be defined by knowing that it must be applicable in all situations and to all people especially. And this is the only thing I've ever heard of anything of a spiritual nature, religious nature, that puts everybody in the same category because of one single truth. It doesn't take a multitude of truths. There's not a multitude of things. There was one man, one sin, one offering, one sacrifice, one death, one burial, and one resurrection for the entire planet. And John Lennon was included in that. And I might add also was my sister's sister-in-law, my brother-in-law's sister, who passed away yesterday morning also at the age of 79. That she passed out of this life in a very difficult situation in a nursing home and with pancreatic cancer, and was able to step out of her body that was severely disabled and to step right into the presence of God.
It's a powerful fact, and that is a powerful thought for those who are concerned about their eternal destiny. And the ones, Michael, that are most concerned about their eternal destiny, of course, are people that are under the religious pretense that they have to do something, they have to believe a certain way, whatever religion it is, whether it be Christianity or Islam or Jehovah's Witness or Mormonism, it doesn't make a difference. If you are under a certain religious concept that demands something from you, people are concerned about what's going to happen to them and what's going to happen to their loved ones once they die. The gospel has the answer for everybody.
That's why the gospel is truth, is because it is the same, the very same thing is applicable to all people of all races, all religions. It makes no difference. The truth of the gospel is truth. It's not my truth. It's not your truth. You see, when you have a personal truth, which people do have, you see, it is not truth because a personal truth is applicable only to that person or their group. And they might say, well, this is truth to me. And that's okay. I understand that. And I respect that. But it is not truth. Because truth in its essence, to be truth, like gravity, must be equally applicable to all. It cannot be something that is variable whatsoever. Truth is never variable. Truth doesn't have a gauge or a meter to measure which is best, which is less, which is more, which is grander. Truth is absolute. And the absolute truth of the gospel is absolute righteousness for absolutely everyone. Absolutely no exceptions.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you'll also be happy to know that I have great news for you. Jimmy Swaggart has now on satellite a 24-hour television channel, 24/7, Jimmy Swaggart, Donnie Swaggart, Donnie's mother, Jimmy's wife, Frances Swaggart, and all the crazy legalists that you could possibly want on their channel 24/7 on DirecTV, on Dish, I'm sure on many of your cable systems around the United States, as well as around the earth. Swaggart has made a nice comeback, not ever attaining to the prominence that he had before his indiscretions were revealed in the mid-1980s. But nonetheless, I mean, you got to give the guy credit, Michael, for his perseverance. But one of the great things for us, you can turn on to this channel. It's called the Sun Life Broadcast Network. At any time, day or night, and hear pure legalism. They were dealing with the Book of Romans, and some guy called in and said, what about the scripture that Paul said, of course we know it's not scripture, but they said it was, what about the scripture where Paul said that Christ died once and for all? And the guy's question was, what does for all mean? Does it mean for everybody? And Donnie Swaggart said, no, it does not mean for everybody. It means he died once and for all. He said that there will never be another cross. There will never be another Calvary. That's what it means. What does that word all mean when Paul refers to A-L-L, all?
Well, in all of Paul's other teachings, all means all people, and I am personally convinced that Donnie was incorrect. And in fact, here, you know, I really do. I encourage people to listen to this and to turn on Jimmy's new full-time broadcast because these are the things that are priming this world for the gospel. The louder their voice is, the stronger the gospel is going to have an effect. You know, we're not telling you about Jimmy Swaggart's new network to tell you don't go listen. In fact, we'd encourage you to listen. If you want to know how good the gospel is, go turn on Jimmy Swaggart's new network. And you will be able to hear. And sometimes I go on to some of these stations and stuff occasionally just to be able to hear just how fortunate I am to know the gospel and the contrast. And many times the contrast gives me great revelation and great understanding.
Yes.
I'll hear them say something totally out of context. But in the context of the gospel, suddenly I get this wonderful insight, and they would never believe that many or some of the things that I teach now I actually got from them. It wasn't what they said, but it's what I understood while they said what they said. So once and for all is once and for everyone.
See, that's good news, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we do with the Gospel Revolution and with this radio program. Each and every week, we bring to you the good news. This is Glenn Klein online. We are live and direct at about 15 minutes after the hour. If you're listening on Wednesday night and it's quarter after the hour, that's your cue to give us a call at 1-800-436-3260. We do have a line available for you. 1-800-436-3260. We know that some people were trying to call in last week and got a busy signal. That's because you waited too long. So now we've got the line open. Give us a call, 1-800-436-3260. This is the second webcast of the Fall Pledge Drive for the Gospel Revolution. We are endeavoring to raise $2,800 in monthly contributions, in new or increased monthly contributions to, frankly, cover a deficit that has occurred since the economy hit the skids at the end of 2008 into 2009. Our monthly contributors to this effort went down by 40%. And you'd say, well, $2,800 was 40%. Yeah, that's how tight our budget is. And we're happy to, you're laughing. Why in God's name would you be laughing?
I don't know. You know, we talk about these ministries, and I think, you know, how much funds Jimmy Swaggart's broadcast will bring in one meeting, you know, one broadcast that he does. And the amount that comes into Mike Williams Ministries probably pay for his car.
Well, right. Well, see, here's the thing, Michael. You used to have the appeal down really good, and then you lost it. You lost it.
If
you watch the Wagger, man,
everybody's got to know Mike Williams has lost it.
Yeah, there's no doubt. But if you watch Swagger, man, he makes an appeal for a book or a Bible. He's got a Bible now where he comments on every passage. It's incredible. I mean, he's got an exact interpretation that is so twisted and so bizarre. You would think a guy that's gone through what he's gone through would have a little bit more grace, a little bit more, grace. I don't know how else to say it, but he is. One guy called in. I was watching. I used to contribute to Swaggart. I love Swaggart. I think he's so classic and he's so theatrical. And I was very attracted to that as a broadcaster early on in my Christian experience. And he makes an appeal for, like, every single book is life changing, and every single thing that they're selling will dramatically, every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ needs to get. Well, we've got a book that you're going to need to get that Michael is in the process of writing and Jeff is editing, and we're working on, called One, O-N-E. And you'll be learning more about that. But tonight, our focus is in raising the funds that will get us through this next quarter. We're trying to raise $2,800 in monthly contributions, in new or increased monthly donations. Give us a call. Let us know what you'll do. 1-800-436-3260. If you're listening on the archive, all you got to do is go to gospelrevolution.com and click on donations. Do your best and let us know what you did. On the website, on the homepage at gospelrevolution.com, is all the CD thank you gifts that you can choose from. And it's all explained at gospelrevolution.com. But whatever you do, whether it be in a monthly contribution or in a one-time gift, we're obviously happy to receive one-time donations. Please email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com and let us know what you did so we can get your thank you gifts out and include you towards our goal. Here are the people, Michael, that have increased their monthly contributions or have made new monthly contributions since we went online last week with the fall pledge drive.
Drum roll, please.
Yes, Chris Ann Panther from Waterloo,
Yay.
Iowa. Don and Judy Murphy from Billings, Montana. We had an anonymous gift, a monthly pledge from Fitchburg, Wisconsin. Fitchburg quite well. That's where Dawn lived when we first started dating, in beautiful Fitchburg, just outside of Madison. Stephen Mary Keller from Shiprock, New Mexico. Carrie and Rita Whiteman from Whitehall, Montana. Billy Thompson from Wachuca City, Arizona. See, I know how to pronounce that now.
Yes,
it's the last pledge drive. Thanks, Billy. Donald Wynn from Wasilla, Arkansas, from Wasilla, Alaska, home of Sarah Palin. I love the fact that we have a gospel revolutionary in the hometown of Sarah Palin. I take particular pleasure in that for some reason.
Yeah.
Billy and Jeannie Schultz from Pollock Pines, California. Dwayne and Ruth Daku from Saskatchewan. Vic Dobrennan from Calgary, Alberta. And Randy Johnson from Charlotte, North Carolina. Those are our new or increased monthly donors. Here are our new one-time pledges from Dave Castle from East Peoria, Illinois. Pap Washburn, our boy from Marshfield, Wisconsin. Dina Morgan from St. Louis Park, Minnesota. Michael and Letitia Kolb from Daytona Beach, Florida. Robert Hines from McDonough, Georgia. Gene Giglio from Opelika, Alabama. Yvonne DeClean from Waterford, Wisconsin. Love the Wisconsin. Susan Gomez from Atlanta, Georgia. Todd and Angela Gray from LaPorte City, Iowa. Mark Archambault from Tucson, Arizona. Mac and Rosa Walker from West Monroe, Louisiana. Arthur and Dagmar Wirch from Brandon, New Brunswick. Richard and Pat Salonen from Waukesha, Wisconsin. What about Wisconsin, bro? Come on, give it up for Wisconsin.
I know.
Lee Callender. Yeah, Lee Callender from Nassau, the Bahamas. Tom and Linda Wilby from Fredericton, Manitoba. Our good buddy, Pastor Ted Winsett from Decatur, Alabama. Richard Mull, our gospel revolutionary correspondent from Garden Grove, California. Jerry and Susan Berman from Longwood, Florida. Beverly Galuska from Allen Park, Michigan. And James and Gail Gustafson from Estevan, Saskatchewan. Those are our one-time donators. We really appreciate everything. You guys were at $914 on our way to $2,800 in new or increased monthly pledges. That's our goal. We're trying to make up for
That's
the deficit.
Awesome.
Give us a call, 1-800-436. What is it? 436-3260. How many times have I said that? You talk about a brain fart. Holy mackerel. And we need to hear from you right now. 1-800-436-3260. whether you have a donation or you just want to talk to Michael, 1-800-436-3260. That is the number to call. Sean is waiting in line to take your call, and he will get you online very quickly. Well, Michael, we have got so many emails. We did the email extravaganza just a couple weeks ago, but let's pick apart some emails, shall we? We need somebody to get on the phone because it always takes just that first caller. 1-800-436-3260. In the meantime, we will deal with some emails, and happy to do so. I refuse to get so far behind as we have done in the past, especially when we have a little bit of time. This email comes from Clint in New Mexico. It's entitled "Feeling Blessed in New Mexico." Greetings, Mike and Glenn. I seem to always return to the message of the gospel of grace and peace. I tried listening to Andrew Womack's series on righteousness last night. I feel I am confused enough. Laugh out loud. Seems he was firing off so fast it was hard to absorb and understand. But you can tell it is a mixture of grace and law. I am currently unemployed. I worked as a hairstylist for almost 30 years. I keep praying and asking the Lord what he would have me to do. I feel no clear direction. I don't know what I want to do. Then I'm in fear over drawing unemployment. If you want to work, work. If you don't want to work, don't work. Ugh, I feel torn up inside. I know from the teaching we are supposed to be free from the fear of guilt and judgment with God. I sure have the fear of guilt and judgment and punishment from man. What about the laws of the land? I'm thinking I will be able to contribute soon. This message has got to get out. I had difficulty downloading the page of the other gospel revolutionaries in my area. Couldn't register a computer product code number correctly, allowing me access to that page. Blast from the past, Mike. I saw you at a demonology seminar at Norval Hazen Church back around 1990. Also, my Rhema Bible College graduate pastor sent me to see you at Bob Yannon's church around 1993.
Oh,
my, does that man ever need the gospel? But it would kill his brand new mega church. He says, but it would kill his brand new mega church. Ha ha. You guys are a blessing. I listen day and night. Hugs. And that's from Clint in Clovis, New Mexico.
That is awesome.
Well, all right, so here's Clint. He's been a hairstylist for almost 30 years, and he keeps praying and asking the Lord what he would have him do. What's your recommendation for Clint, Michael?
Well, he said not only is he praying, asking the Lord what to do, and he's not getting an answer, and but he doesn't know what he wants to do himself. I think that one of the biggest reasons that we do not know our own heart is because we're trying to figure out what God wants. Before you'll ever know your own heart or your own will, you must understand that God's heart and God's will have been completely fulfilled. You don't have to try to figure out what God wants, because what God wants, God has. He is not looking for something else for you to do. He does not have a perfect plan in mind for you that will cause you that if you hit just the right step or the right stride or the right stroke or the right alley or the right lane or the right level, it can become bewildering. Regardless of what lane, what stroke, what stride you may be in, you are in the perfect will of God. Nothing you could do could make God more satisfied, fulfill his heart's desire or his will. His heart's desire has been fulfilled. His will has been fulfilled. That's where the power of this immaculate gospel really puts the rubber to the road, is exactly where that his question comes, and that is down to where that we can actually get to know what we do want, what we is in front of us, and what our choices are. You see, the moment you defer your choices, not only to God, if you deferred your choices to your husband, your wife, to your mother, your father, to your, you know, to whoever, the moment you defer your choices off to somebody else, you no longer even know your own heart. So it's vitally important to know that God's will for our lives is completely fulfilled. His direction for our lives is fulfilled. So the direction in this life is what you choose it to be, based on talents and abilities. And, you know, sometimes people make it great in life using something that is not even a talent or an ability that they have. Life can work out in incredible ways. But the issue here is to come to grips with the and come to peace with yourself that there is nothing lacking about the will of God. There is no plan. We really are hitting the area that was that has become one of the most frustrating areas as far as what Christian doctrine has taught and religious doctrine has taught, that has paralyzed people to the core. And that is this issue of waiting to see what the Lord wants, what God wants, what the Lord says, what's the will of God, what should I do, who should I marry, where should I work, where should I live, should I give, should I not give, all of these things. Once you realize that all of these things and more, everything pertaining to life is your choice. None of your choices will place you outside the will of God. None of your choices will place you outside of God's favor. In fact, the ability to make your own choice is a manifestation of the grace of God. It is your choice. These are not choices that you're having to turn to God for. These are choices that you have to turn to your own heart for. And I think that if we were all freed from having to know the will of God, and you might say, well, how would we be free from having to know the will of God? It was if we knew the will of God. The will of God was that was performed 2,000 years ago, and that God was in Christ reconciling the whole world unto himself. And the will of God was completely performed 2,000 years ago. So the things of life are now in a completely different and manageable strata. It's on our level. This is not on a God level or a spirit level. It's on our level. It's what's in front of you. It's what's around you. And you make your choices based on what you see, what you hear, what you think, what you feel. And you say, but Mike, I could go wrong. The wonderful thing about this type of freedom is that if you go wrong, you can still go right. If you turn right, you can turn around and go back left. It's, you know, there is the possibilities are infinite when you finally realize that the will of God has been completed.
So when you are at a crossroads, Michael, do you ever look to the Lord for direction?
No. I really don't. I search my own heart. I do the old fashioned thing, a list of pros and cons, and what is the advantages, what are the disadvantages, what would this mean to me, where would it place me, how would I feel if I moved into that situation or moved out of this situation, or these are all things, just like the decision that was in front of me this month, and that was, do I stay in this home or do I sell it? There was never a prayer offered. I simply looked at the situation. I feel very comfortable in my heart selling the home and going into an apartment and reducing my expenses. I could have done either way. I could have said, well, you know, I think I'll stay here and stick it out and see if the finances turn around. But, you know, there were other things that were involved in that decision, and that is, you know, I've been here for 3 years. I love it here. I have a beautiful home. Never dreamed of having such place again after this total collapse of the ministry and finances years ago. But I started thinking, you know, I'd really like to have more of a social life, and out here on this far side of town, I really don't have that. So I thought, you know, an apartment downtown, that sounds like fun. I really want to portray that to you, that is really was part of my decision. This sounds like fun. This sounds like something I would like to do, because I've lived downtown once before in my life, and I really did enjoy that. And I think it's time for a change.
Wait a second. You're not supposed to put such a positive spin on you having to move out of your house.
I know we're supposed to put the desperation on it. I just can't. I'm sorry. I can't.
All right. Well, that's fine. That's fine. This is Glenn Klein Online. That's Mike Williams getting ready to pack up and move out of his house because we don't have the money to pay for it. But no, that's not the reason. Here's the thing for everybody that's listening. This is something that Mike has decided to do because this is what he wants to do. And people always say, well, if the law of God has been done away with, then you can do whatever you want to do. Yes, this is true, ladies and gentlemen. You get to do whatever you want to do, knowing, Michael, that no matter what a person does, whether it's considered by them or by anybody else to be right or to be a wrong decision, that they are still 100% in the will of God.
Yeah, you know, it's just so vitally important that your decision-making process be completely freed from spiritual consequences. You just have to. You can't think clearly when your decisions have spiritual consequences. It just isn't a fair place to be. I do not put any of my decisions, zero. I cannot tell you how much peace and joy I have, even in making this decision to leave my home here and to go to an apartment. I'm telling you, I'm excited about it. I know I'm not supposed to be. I know we're supposed to present where Michael's losing his house thing because people aren't giving. I just can't go there.
All right, this is
a very enjoyable thing for me.
But
we've got to free ourselves. Your decision process, your decision-making process about everything in life must be freed from spiritual conflict.
Yeah, well, you also enjoyed the process of thinking that you were dying, and several times.
Yeah, I did.
I know. You are a very, very strange duck. This is Glenn Klein Online. This is night number two, the webcast of the Fall Pledge Drive for 2010. We are working through some emails. The phone line's available. We want to hear from you. We're asking to hear from you at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. This email came from Victor Brennan, who is from Calgary, but he's in Kauai, Hawaii.
I know.
A place
I'm so jealous.
That both you and I, I'm jealous too. But he says, Michael, I've been listening to a lot of your teaching from Romans, especially chapter 6. I'm finally putting a lot of this stuff together. It's great. I love it. I'm beginning to see the condition of sin spoken of by Paul has to do with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we're delivered from that into life. It's all very profound, and I see the liberation of the gospel more and more each day. And that's from Vic Dobrennan, who's our host from Grace Ministries up there in Canada.
Yes,
and
he
will
is.
Be hosting you soon.
See, this is the stuff I love, Glenn. I love hearing that. And that's the thing. The gospel is a daily experience. It is not a knowledge you take and put away. You don't store it away for a rainy day. It is for every day. It's not for rainy days. You know, people in religion seem to kind of try to store up what they know, so when they get sick, they'll have something to react with. When they go broke, or to try to keep themselves from going broke, or to try to keep themselves healthy, to make sure they don't ever get sick, make sure their children don't go to heaven and don't go to hell, to make sure their children are protected. Oh my gosh! All of that stuff is such a waste. It is such a waste. Number one, thank God they're not wasting the gospel on it because they don't know the gospel, because that's why they emphasize external things, is because they do not know the power of the gospel, which is for internal things. It is an internal kingdom. This is not an external kingdom. And Christianity just has it all screwed up. I hate to be so blunt about it, but that is my summation of the current situation. Christianity just has this really screwed up. And this is an internal function of the gospel. It is internal. And it makes many times during a day, it can make many times during the day a very poignant moment. I mean, you can turn any corner and in any situation, or not be in a situation at all, just be in a conversation and you're growing constantly. You're seeing more. You're understanding more. This is not something. I'm very fortunate to have been most of the people who listen to this, if not all, to have been their teacher, to have been the one who has said, look here, look at this, glance at it this way. What do you see? What do you think? I've been very fortunate to do that. But the thing of it is that once the truth of the gospel is pointed out, just like Vic has said here, I'm not sitting there teaching Vic these new things that he's learning. I'm not explaining this to him. Vic is growing daily in his knowledge. When you're sharing truth with someone, the person who hears it should exceed you in knowledge and in understanding of that truth. I was telling Jeff about this just today, I think. And I remember when and it took years. Oh, my gosh. The years that I thrashed out, it took me 5 years to thrash out the gospel of peace enough to where I was convinced that I could teach it, should teach it, and wanted to teach it. And then I taught it to people, and it was like, wow, yes, I get it. And they went directly from their old way of thinking to a new way of thinking. Glenn, I remember getting upset. It bothered me. And I remember praying about it. I remember having to walk through this mindset. And I thought, this just isn't fair. I had to thrash through this for 5 years. And I stand up and say it, and then people just jump into it just like it's this is wonderful. But then I finally realized that is the mark of truth. That if something is learned over a period of time and you share it, people ought to not only be understanding what you're saying, it should from that point begin to grow, not begin to grow from where I was 5 years before when I took 5 years to get to that point of understanding. They grow from the point that I introduce it to them or whoever introduces it to them. And I expect that they should understand these concepts better than I. That's the reason I have such great hope for the gospel, because I know, and even as I was facing death this year, on several occasions, it didn't bother me on this level that I knew that nothing was going to stop the gospel. You guys that are out there understand this, to where that my existence on this earth is irrelevant to the expansion of the gospel from this time forward.
We don't agree with that. Sorry. That we don't agree with that. That's fine for you to say, but we don't agree with that. This, this is Glenn Klein Online. We need Michael. We need you. We need everybody. Don't die yet. We'll be back with more of this edition of the webcast, the second week of the Fall Pledge Drive of 2010. The Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
Gospel issue number one, sin.
The issue of sin is big. That because of one man's sin, that God took that sin and charged it against everybody's account. We didn't do what Adam did, but we became what Adam was. If Adam is called the first Adam and Jesus is called the last Adam, my mind must remain arrested to this comparison. By one man's sin, all were made sinners, and that by one man's obedience, all have been made righteous. All of you that have believed, know that you know that feeling and that sense of relief from sin. You know that feeling very well. My challenge to you is that you could have that every day of your life without ever addressing sin again. Ever.
Any questions? Go to GospelRevolution.com and order Gospel 101 now. Available in singles or discount multi-packs of 10, 25, and 50 CDs. If you don't ask any questions, you're not going to get any answers.
Thank you, Robert Moore. And thank you to Jeff Robertson, who has dutifully reported that finally, the Gospel 101 shipment came in of all the CDs, and we are happy to report that those that have been waiting for the Gospel 101 to hand out to friends and family and neighbors and strangers will be shipped out mañana. So if you're listening live, that's Thursday. If you're listening on the archive, that is last Thursday, so you should be seeing those for those that have ordered. And you need to have these. The gospel, that's my best Jimmy Swagger attempt. You need to have these, ladies and gentlemen.
Everyone
you
will
have
be blessed.
Yes, and it is. It's a very good 45-minute encapsulation of an introduction to the gospel, according to Michael. Gospel 101 available at gospelrevolution.com, and they are very inexpensive. You can buy them in packs. We've discounted the CDs so that you can hand them out freely. You can duplicate them. Michael, just for those that are logging on for their first time or are new listeners to the webcast, what is the Mike Williams Ministries and the Gospel Revolution.com copyright law?
It's the law. You have to copy them. that is our copyright law.
Also
take
wanna,
them, copy them, pass them on.
Please do. Or order them from GospelRevolution.com. I also want to thank Matt Perry for helping produce that spot. Matt from Georgia, great gospel revolutionary, was at the meeting in Augusta where you taught on our spiritual heritage and about how it is our spiritual heritage to condemn any teaching of judgment.
A landmark teaching that took place there in Augusta, it was a very moving moment. It was a somber time. I approached it with the greatest degree of respect that I could find within me because of the gravity of the understanding that I was presenting there in Augusta. It was received. It was emotional. It was powerful. The atmosphere in the room was palpable for sure. It really was an amazing time to venture into and take on and allow the scriptures to even clarify what a writer of the New Testament in the New Testament teachings has to say. And not just to clarify, but as you said, as Isaiah said, that it is our heritage that we should condemn every tongue that rises in judgment after the work of the cross, that any tongue that rises in judgment thou shalt condemn, for this is the heritage. This is the heritage, not a requirement. This is your heritage, and it's of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith God. So we took on, you know, I had waded into Pat Robertson and many other Christian figures and condemned their prophecies and their things saying that judgment was coming. But as I read the teachings of Peter, I realized that I would be absolutely remiss if I did not approach that and not put Peter in his place, but let Peter be who he is, who's just a man, and who could teach right or could teach wrong. But all of his teaching, according to Jesus, had to be subjected to the Scriptures. And when I subjected Peter's teaching about end-time doctrine and another judgment coming, I had to condemn that teaching. And I'm telling you, you will hear it in the process of the lead-up to the moment where that I actually opened my mouth and condemned the teaching of the Apostle Peter pertaining to judgment upon this planet that would come after the cross, to openly do that. And you will hear the gravity in which that I entered into that whole thing. It was not done lightly, as anyone who was there can tell you, or anyone who will listen to this series would know. But it is a very poignant time, and it's a very very important thing, because I think of all the things that I could say about the Scriptures, this put the acid test to my belief that the Scriptures outweigh any teaching in the Bible, including Peter, James, and John. And when we put the acid test to the teachings of Peter on a future judgment, the Scriptures, not Mike Williams, the Scriptures found Peter's teachings to be in error.
All right, so you're on. How could that be? Because Peter's teachings are part of the Scriptures. Well, no, they're not, folks. The Scriptures are defined, and we articulate and embrace the definition of Jesus, and the one thing that the apostles all agreed together, what the Holy Writ was, which was the law, the Psalms, and the prophets. And if those teachings do not agree with the writings in the so-called New Testament, which wasn't the New Testament, this is what we call the New Testament, is the blood of Jesus, the Messiah. That's what the New Testament is. The Catholic Church compiled these writings and called them the New Testament. They lopped the Scriptures and other writings and called them the Old Testament. This is, things are so screwed up in religious circles, it's beyond belief. But we're here to clarify, and so we're happy to help you. While we're doing commercials, let me encourage you to go to your computer, which you're already on if you're listening to this program, obviously, and go to katebenham.com, Kate, K-A-T-E, Benham, B-E-N-H-A-M.com, and order Kate's new music CD, You Are What You've Been Searching For. Fantastic compilation of the gospel in music. Jeff and Kate Benham down there in Australia, and beautiful music and words. And just go to katebenham.com and order that, because you'll enjoy it It will help Kate and Jeff. And what a pleasure it was, Michael, to visit and party with Jeff and Kate down there in Houston when they were visiting in the late summer. And we got gospel revolutionaries everywhere.
You know, that'll probably be the crowning memory and moment that I'll take from this home of the 3 years that I've been here. A lot of really wonderful memories here that I'll take and treasure for the rest of my life. But really the crowning thing that I believe that I will remember is Kate and Jeff's visit at the same time. Glenn, your visit with and Jake, who, your son, who's with you, and Jeff being here also, our own Jeff Robertson. And that time was just it was magical. The backyard, I guess the one thing I wish I could do is show everybody my backyard before I leave here.
Well, take wait, you can. Michael, you can do that. Just take a picture. You know how to do that. Give it to Jeff, and he can put that online. And I'm sure that Chris would appreciate that. And you can put Chris's website on for it. But you know, here's the best part of that experience is we actually made s'mores in Michael's fire pit, his gas fueled fire pit in the middle of this beautiful backyard. And he allowed us to do it knowing that the marshmallows could melt and end up in the coals on there. I was very proud of you, Michael, that you let that all go on. So that was good.
I'm a gracious man.
You are. You're full of grace. Speaking of Australia, this email from David Dwyer from Brisbane, Australia. He says, guys, good day. The webcast, the last 3 or 4 weeks has been exceptional. Have been trying to get it to as many ears as possible, but there's so much opposition to such a good news story. However, for me, the gospel, as we see it, just makes so much sense and is so liberating. Freedom, in some respects, is harder than legalism because you have to accept all things. You've got to accept people. Got to accept conditions, behaviors, etc. Nevertheless, it is only difficult if you think you have to do something to get something. Bondage is not something that should be associated with the gospel. Enough of my ramblings. Keep up the ministry. It will start to get traction. Do not give up. David Dwyer from Brisbane, Australia. David, we're happy to report it has already gotten traction. On our last analytics by Jeff, we are being contacted and listened to and looked at from 62 nations of the world. So it's a small group in the 62 nations, but that's a big chunk of the globe as it is, Michael.
Yeah, you know, if you were to turn this over to any marketing professionals and ask them, would they want the stance that this gospel revolution is in right now, or would they rather have a stadium full of people? I am convinced that anyone in marketing would see the potential of this and would turn down a stadium full of people that they knew for sure but had no contact outside of that. We're just in a position to where that, as I'm saying, that the potential is just off the charts. And regardless of the potential, regardless of what we see tomorrow or next week or next year or 10 years down the road, looks like I'm 58 going on 85 now instead of 58 and on my way out. So here we are. We're gearing up for the long haul. But, you know, this is the wild thing about it. I have already seen the gospel do more, number one, in my own personal heart and life. I could never, ever have dreamed that my heart and my mind would be in the condition that is in today. I could never have dreamed that. Could never have dreamed it. I didn't even know what was wrong with my heart or my mind. But the gospel in its stealthy way has the power to do the things that needs to be done. It's, it really is amazing. But also, to the extent that the gospel has spread to other people, is still, I kind of thought, if I live to be 80, about how much impact that the gospel may be having by the time I was 80. And this has been more than a decade ago that I was surmising these things. And it's already way past what I had the audacity to believe or think that it may have. So I'm just in piggy heaven here. It really is. You get to actually see the fruit of this wonderful work that I have an absolute privilege to even be a part of is just amazing to me. So yeah, it has got traction. It's like you said, Glenn, it's got more than traction. My gosh, it's revolutionizing hearts and minds around this planet, and in an infectious way, and in a very healthy and stealthy way.
No doubt. We are at the top of the hour. This is Glenn Klein Online. This is Gospel Revolution. Webcast number 2 of the Fall Pledge Drive 2010. We have yet to get a call. We don't care. We really don't. We're happy to read the emails. In fact, I'm thrilled because we have so many that if you do not call, that will allow us to read more emails, and I will not get backlogged. But we do want to hear from you. Sean is waiting. He's sitting there in the studio. I can just picture him. He's probably got a 4-day-old beard sitting there. He is twiddling his thumbs. Who else knows what he's doing? But he's waiting to take your call, and we want to hear from you. If you're listening right now and it's about 10 o'clock on the east coast of the U.S. of America, please call us at 1-800-436-3260. If you've made a pledge, if you want to make a pledge, if you don't want to make a pledge, if you can't make a pledge, and you just want to talk and have your heart be heard, have a question be answered, 1-800-436-3260. Sean, make sure that line is open, because this is a unique situation not to have a call an hour into the webcast. He now informs me that he has tested it, and it is working just fine. So that means give us a call, 1-800-436-3260. We're happy to report on the eighth night of the pledge drive of these 21 days that we have 3 more givers to the effort. Want to thank the aforementioned David Dwyer from Australia, Greg Ambergy, our worship leader in the Cincinnati, Ohio area, and Steve Snyder from Birmingham, Alabama, for contributing to this effort. Many thanks. And speaking of our music aficionado, let us go to the very frigid Midwest of the U.S. of A. to Cincinnati, Ohio. Mr. Greg Ambergy is online with us. Gregory!
I think I just heard you say, Gregory! But I can't really hear anything.
Why? Why can't you hear? Greg?
I hear somebody trying to talk, and it's a faint signal that I can't hear. Let me just say something real quick, and then I'll get off and listen to your reply.
All right.
I'm gonna try to become a monthly supporter. I've never done that before, so I'm gonna start doing it on like a $50 monthly thing.
Yeah.
And
can you hear us now, Greg?
What?
Can you hear us?
I think I heard you say, "Can you hear us?"
All right, well, first of all, thank you very much for that contribution. Why you can't hear us, I have no idea, but we're glad you called. And what else is going on?
Are you waiting for me to talk now?
Yes.
We're having a technical difficulty, apparently. Well, you guys continue on. The show's really good, and I'll listen off the air.
I know he had some stuff to say. We needed him to keep talking.
All right. Well, Sean, if you can figure out what happened and call Ambergy back, because we cannot let him get away with that.
Tell him to keep talking. We'll just shut up and let him talk. We're not going to try to reply to him.
All right. Well, Greg, if you're listening, call back and we'll just let you talk because we want to hear you. We want to hear you sing. I want to hear you sing a gospel song. That's what I want. And we want to thank you. $50 a month, that's huge. That gets us to $964 a month on our way to $2,800. We can do this, ladies and gentlemen. Just go to gospelrevolution.com. You'll see there's all kinds of CD series that will be sent to you as for a thank you for a one-time pledge or a monthly donation. Greg will be getting that. But just go to gospelrevolution.com and email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com and let us know what you did so we can include that in our goal and allow everybody to know what you did to help us. webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Hopefully we'll hear back from Ambergy. Obviously, maybe some other people have called and we're just having phone problems. There are all kinds of communication issues going on right now. Jeff was emailing me all day today and I was not receiving the emails, and we might be in a Mercury retrograde. And if you folks do not know what Mercury retrograde is, just Google it, Mercury retrograde, and you will be very interested to see how once a quarter. I would not be surprised right now. Maybe Jeff can look up while we've got our remaining time and see if we are in a Mercury retrograde, because it does affect communication systems, I think. And so, Jeff, you have an assignment right now. See if we are in the midst of a Mercury retrograde. All right, so this email comes from our boy Chris Harrington in Nacogdoches, Texas, Michael. He says, reading the Bible can be easier if it is written into whole sentences. If anyone would like a copy of the book of Hebrews or Romans, completely rewritten to make it easier to read, have them email me. All right, here is Chris Harrington's email address. RunningTurtle87. RunningTurtle, just like it sounds, RunningTurtle87@hotmail.com. He says, I have them in files that I can send back to you for reading on your computer. RunningTurtle87@hotmail.com. That guy is a trip, man.
I'm telling you. Now, let me encourage everybody. You don't know what you've just been offered. The work that he has put into this is the work that would take a group of people to do over a long period of time, and he's done this now, and I can guarantee you that it has been done thoroughly by somebody, number one, that understands the gospel. He also was there when he taught the book of Hebrews. Is it the book of Hebrews he was saying or the book of Romans?
Both
of them. Jeez.
Yes.
So now he has done this, and as he said, put it in whole sentences. And how much more understandable it is, take him at his word. Email him and get this. I can't wait to get mine. I want one. And to be able to read this in this text that he has set up will be very enlightening for anybody. I know Pastor Ted's going to grab this up really quick. He's teaching on Hebrews right now and having a wonderful time doing it. So
get in contact with that running turtle. Believe me, if you knew him, you'd know exactly why his name is Running Turtle. So,
Chris,
he is glad to hear it.
Oh, dude, he was sitting there at the Second Gospel Revolution Convention tracking with his concordance every single word that you said from the book of Hebrews, and it was him and Mark Eaton, man. They were just going through their concordance, and they were, and of course, Michael looks up some things in the concordance, but he just reads things in context and then comments based on the gospel, based on his understanding, the logical, contextual reading of the passages, and these guys were blown away with your interpretation and your explanation of those passages based on the original languages of the Bible. But Harrington is incredible. He's a genius in so many ways. Yeah, runningturtle87 at hotmail.com. All right, so here is my response from Robertson on a Mercury retrograde, which affects communication. He says, good call, Glenn. It's starting right now, Mercury retrograde. Friday, December 10th, 2010. Mercury, the wise communicator and universal trickster, turns retrograde at 5:54 Capricorn in the sign of the sea goat, sending communications, travel, appointments, mail, and the World Wide Web into a general snarl-up. The retro period begins some days before the actual turning point, as Mercury slows and lasts for 3 weeks or so until December 30th, 2010. So, there we go. Now, folks, you say, "Oh, that's lunacy, Glenn. That's like astrology." No. The Mercury retrograde is no different than the effect of the moon and high tide. I mean, these are verifiable phenomenon, folks. So the fact that we've been having problems with communication today, and here's the thing, you're going to see this with your computers and with other issues with personal communication. It's just like when high tide and full moons affect people, because as we know, the human body, like the Earth, ironically, is about 70% water. And so when there's a full moon at high tide, it has an effect, especially more so on certain people. So, well, just take it for whatever it's worth. You've been warned. All right, so we got Ambergy back here on the Gospel Revolution webcast. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. And in the 5 short minutes that we were trying to get the technical difficulties worked out, did you guys just completely go off the deep end?
Yes, we did.
Okay, because I turned... come back on and you're talking about some Mercury thing, and I thought, what? I know you've been off the deep end for many, many years. Thank God.
And who are you talking about?
I'm talking about both of you guys.
Well, you know what they say, that you should not be unequally yoked. So, at least we're not unequally yoked.
This is true.
Okay.
Greg.
Okay.
First of all, thank you very much,
yes.
All kidding aside, for your contribution and your pledge of $50 a month. We greatly appreciate it.
Huge.
And,
thank you.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome very much. I'm probably like everybody else listening out there. I wish I was in the position to do more. Just because of what this has done for me.
All right, well, I don't want you to stay on a long time because I got a feeling we're going to get some more calls.
Yes.
But I'm being moved by the Holy Ghost to have you sing us a song tonight.
Well, the most appropriate song would be "The Weather Outside Is Frightful."
No, no, we want to hear a gospel song, brother.
A gospel song.
Or at least Mustang Sally, something.
Since they are in the same category, you know.
Yes, they are.
Exactly. I'm not really in a singing kind of mood tonight.
Yeah, well, get yourself there. How about the Doobie Brothers' "Jesus Is Just All Right with Me"? That's my request.
Really?
Or something.
Or something.
I don't really do the whole off the cuff.
All right, Jeff Robertson wants to... Okay, go ahead.
Oh, you were talking to me?
Yeah, well, Jeff just requested "Spirit in the Sky."
I know. I know. I don't know that one.
You know of it?
Yeah. Spirit in the sky. Yeah, whatever. I don't know all the words.
No, that song has got the greatest. Norman Greenbaum, nice Jewish boy from the 70s, wrote maybe the greatest line in the history of music when he said, "I've never been a sinner. I've never sinned. I have a friend in Jesus."
That's a line in the song?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Lord knows that when I die, gonna recommend me to the Spirit in the Sky.
Spirit in the Sky. Gonna recommend me to the Spirit in the Sky. Gonna go up when I die. Yeah, we don't need
when
to
When I
things.
Die and they lay me to rest, I'm gonna go to
gonna
the place,
go to
that's,
the place
the
that's the best.
All right.
All right, dude, you're no longer the worship leader. We're
well, that's good. I'm glad I've been replaced.
You didn't want a job anyway, did you?
I want to be the chancellor.
All right, you're the chancellor.
You are now the chancellor of the Gospel
All
Revolution.
All right, you have now been made chancellor. All right, chance.
Thank you very much.
Ask and you shall receive.
I'm sorry, my contribution was less than. It was worse than bad tonight. I'm sorry.
No. It's not. just give an amen at the end here. Just sing an amen.
Ha! Amen.
All right. Good night. Goodbye.
All right.
Love you.
Thanks, Greg.
There's Ambergy. A tired Greg Ambergy. All right, well, that was good because that encouraged us. I don't know that you ever broke out. You broke out. You had a stretch, Michael, on your teachings on the CDs that pretty much every CD would end in "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine."
Oh yes, yeah, and we had. I remember our Grace. Her daughter, Jeannie Hope, who is still part of the Gospel Revolution, and in fact, Grace still is. She left this life and went into the presence of God several years ago. But she actually got mad at me because I didn't close one of the sessions. She was in her 80s, and she would sit through the whole session just to wait to hear me sing Amazing Grace or... I had only one or two that I would do, and Blessed Assurance usually was it, actually. And she came up to me, and she was upset with me, and she tugged on my coat and let me know that she wasn't going to come back if she didn't get to hear Blessed Assurance at the end of it. So,
sure. What was her name?
Her name was Grace. Her daughter's name, I'm not sure. And she was in Canada. They always showed up at Calgary, Alberta.
All right. So, let's hear it. Blessed Assurance. Hey, wait a second. Mute that, Sean. We hear the next caller online. But before we do, you folks couldn't hear that, but we heard it. But break out in a chorus of Blessed Assurance before we go to our next caller. I want to hear it.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my... What?
No, all right, but we can hear you. They can. Let's welcome from Georgia. I'm getting into the spirit. Matt Perry, the aforementioned Matt Perry. Matt.
All the day long.
18.
This is my
what? Oh my God. Play that, Matt. Turn that.
I'm not
up.
Playing it. So it's on the computer.
I can play that a little bit.
I was going to.
That was Norman Greenbaum's "Spirit in the Sky."
That is one of my favorite songs, actually.
Yeah, it may be my favorite song. It's either "Spirit in the Sky" or "Friend of the Devil" by the Grateful Dead. I don't know which one is my favorite song.
You mean "Sympathy for the"? I'm thinking of Rolling Stones. I don't know what that knows.
How you doing, Matt? We haven't heard from you for a while. On the line, anyway.
Well, that can be a good thing, but I've been doing all right. Just getting by, basically. But yeah, all right.
Hey, thanks for help producing that last commercial for Gospel 101. Much appreciated. That was huge.
I'm glad to be a part. I'm more proud of the other version I did. I wasn't really expecting Jeff to put that one down, but there's no problem. I'm kind of a perfectionist, but maybe this third. I got a third one he's got me doing, so maybe I can put a little extra effort into that.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Appreciate it, Matt.
Yeah. Yep. And that is it, I guess.
All right. Love you.
Love you, Matt.
There goes Matt Perry. Oh, my God. Michael, we got gospel revolutionaries all over the frickin' planet. It is fantastic.
Yeah. And there is not a dull one amongst them, that's for sure.
No, it's all shapes and sizes and varieties and sexualities.
Oh, my gosh.
And races. Folks, we actually have every race and every flavor of human being involved in this effort that you can imagine. I mean, every age. Michael, you just talked about the 80-year-old woman that tug on your coat. We're talking about elderly people. We're talking about extremely young people. We're talking about middle-aged folks. We're talking about people on all continents of the earth that are contemplating and sharing the truth of God's good news, the power of God, God's revelation, God's righteousness that has been imparted, it has been ignited, it has been imputed, Michael, to every man, woman, child that has been born, whether they know it or not. Our job and our joy, this is not an obligation. This is a passion of ours. This is a desire of ours. This is our choice. Our joy, Michael, is to share this good news. That's why we're doing this. We are passionate about it. If you haven't figured that out yet, folks, that we get more out of this than anybody that's listening, I hope you understand that now.
That is for sure. We're here because we want to be here. It is a joy. It is an extreme joy, that's for sure.
All right, this email just came in from the Gospel Revolution Poet Laureate, Jackie Bernard. I think Jackie's in Georgia too, isn't he? Jackie Bernard in Georgia? I'll hear from
either that or Tennessee.
I'll hear from Jeff momentarily to confirm that. Here's his question. Whatever happened to the tree of life in the Garden of Eden, Michael?
Now, say that again.
Whatever happened to the tree of life, the actual tree of life? What happened to it that was in the Garden of Eden?
Oh, well, wonderful question. Remember, one of the things that I taught is everything that was an it became a him. The tree of life is Jesus. He is the tree of life. What was an it became a him, and Jesus is the tree of life, and we have partaken of that life. And we have been fed, the entire planet has been fed from the tree of life. The tree of life is no longer an option. It's not something that stands there for somebody to choose between the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Pertaining to relationship with God, the tree of life has been literally imputed to the entire human race, and that is Jesus himself.
That is blessed assurance, folks, right there. All right, Michael. Well, you'll be happy to know that Jeff quickly reported that Jackie actually is in Tennessee. You were correct, sir.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wonderful.
I knew it was in the Confederacy somewhere. and Jeff is reporting that your backyard pictures are now on your Facebook page. So,
oh my.
for you, well, boy, that guy is quick. I mean, he is Johnny on the spot. And so I go to your Facebook, and sure enough, it's there. And you've already had two comments from Carol and Darren, and Mike Kolb and Dina Morgan and Julie Walt all like it. So there's eight pictures of Mike's backyard on his Facebook. Just go to Mike Williams, born on August 16th, it says.
I'd like to tell everybody, too, that actually my backyard was done by my dear friend Chris. Just amazing. It was just a total labor of love on his part, and he drove equipment and everything from trailers and liners and all of that, all the way from Illinois, and invaded my backyard and placed this beautiful landscaping in there. So it was a gift. It was a wonderful, beautiful gift.
Well, and if you go onto Mike's Facebook, you'll see not only the beautiful backyard, but you'll see the fire pit where Michael dared to allow Jake, my son, and Kate and Jeff Benham and Jeff Robertson to roast marshmallows for our s'mores right on there. And he took some serious attempt. Dina Morgan is asking if the webcast is on, so I'm going to I'm on Facebook. So I'm saying yes, Dina. Dina Morgan. She's a gospel revolutionary.
She is, and has been for several years.
Yeah, that's great. Well, we've got a lot more emails. Let's get to one more email. We're gonna tell you that the line is still available for you at 1-800-436-3260 before we get out of here. So if you want to call us, give us a buzz. 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. We are up against the clock, but we would love to hear from you. Take your calls. We didn't hear from Pastor Ted tonight. I'm surprised.
1-800-436-3260.
He was busy.
I talked with him earlier, and he was disappointed that he wanted us to know that he was not going to be able to join us, but he would definitely be back next week. In fact, he had a great question that we didn't get to, but we will get to it next time.
All right. Well, here's a great question from – this is a long one, but let's get to it because it's from Ireland, from Brian Foley. Hey, Mike and Glenn, I have been listening, as always, to the show every Thursday morning, but I have a question from Matthew 15, verses 30 and 31, which says, "And there came unto him great multitudes, having with them the lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and Jesus healed them all. And Paul the Apostle went around doing miracles in his name, but we know he preached the gospel of grace and peace. What do you think was God's reason for doing these miracles? I know Mike would say this is not a gospel issue, but I just wonder, are we missing something? I hear that recently we got a call from America, and my wife's mother had been pronounced brain dead and was dead for 10 hours, and her skin had turned gray. We got a call, and we're told that Sheila, of course, that's his wife, her daughter was very upset. And Brian says, I got a sense that this was not right and it was not her time. Faith rose in my heart and I grabbed our children and we prayed that God would bring their grandma back to life and her brain would work perfectly. And 3 hours later, she started to move her little finger and her brain started functioning. And the doctors were blown away and said this was a complete miracle. She was sent home, and a week later, she is fine. The doctor said there was a 0.05% chance that this could happen, that if she came back, she would be a vegetable. I understand the countless people have prayed and have seen their loved ones die, but what happened in my heart, and what do you think about this, Michael? That's from Brian Foley in Ireland.
I say it is a good idea to follow your heart. whether it falls within the realm of what you, even of what you think you believe, it's a good thing to follow your heart. And I have no comment to make that would be raise any question other than the standard questions that people would about whether or not it was a miracle. But the fact of it is that this happened in this sequence of events, and we're very grateful that this happened for you guys.
Very much so. And Jeff just chimed in on the instant message and said, "Follow your heart." Another great title for a series. Oh, the boy's always thinking. Well, we're so happy that the folks that contributed tonight did. We're happy to have heard from Matt Perry and from Greg Ambergy, even though he wouldn't sing for us. And it got Michael to sing, so that was a good thing. We are well on our way, folks. We're trying to get to $2,800 in new or increased monthly pledges. We're at $964 with Greg's $50 a month contribution. People are contributing for one time, too. Just go to gospelrevolution.com, go to the homepage, and you will see all the options in thank you gifts. We are really trying to up the monthly donations. If you can donate 5 or 10 or 20 bucks a month, it's not a lot of money, but the participation is what we are interested in. Michael, a pleasure as always. I always am amazed. I am amazed at how much the gospel every Wednesday night affects my soul. It's hard for me. I have to be up early, but it's hard for me to go to bed right away after we get off the air because I'm so energized by this.
Yeah, it is a stealthy, healthy gospel, and it it takes a little bit of time to land and go to bed after something like this. That's for sure. I'm glad that you enjoyed it, Glenn, and I hope that everybody out there enjoyed it as much as I did, also. And thank you from the bottom of my heart on behalf of Mike Williams Ministries and the Gospel Revolution. You know, Greg's call that he started out $50 a month, and then sorry, it was so small. But my gosh, it's huge. It's huge. You just can't realize what $50 a month that we can add to the to knowing what our expenses are and knowing what monies we have to apply and to be able to budget. $50 more a month is huge. It is huge. If it's $20 a month, it's huge. We appreciate the monthly participation. We're a third of the way there on this, and we appreciate what everybody's doing.
No doubt. We also want to thank Jeff Robertson for everything he's doing. What a warrior for this effort.
It's unbelievable.
Well, it's
I just stand back and watch. It's just amazing.
It's so appreciated. Same yeah. goes out to Sean O'Halloran,
who
came into this thing not as a gospel revolutionary, but is certainly in that number now. Several years later, it's amazing. And as we go in to the second week of the webcast pledge drive, we are asking you folks to help us so that some of the bills can be paid during this next quarter. Just go to gospelrevolution.com, and all the information's on the homepage. The homepage is being refreshed on a weekly basis. And if you haven't been there for a while, please do visit us. You can email us. Please let us know what you're going to do as far as your pledges at webcast@gospelrevolution.com so we can include it in the goal and get you out your thank you gifts. And let us hear from you during the course of the week. If there's anything that we can do for you, you can call Michael directly at 281-955-1910. That's the number at the Houston home office, 281-955-1910. Thanks for doing everything that you're doing, folks. We love you and cannot thank you enough. I am a saved man on this particular December 8th evening. Until next time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying shalom, everybody.